Christ our trumpet, true will be. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of our Lord. So today is Good Shepherd Sunday, or Misericordias Domini. So the goodness of our Lord, the goodness of our God. We just sang that in our hymn as well. God revealed to Moses who he was, right? We know this. God reveals to Moses from the burning bush that his name is I Am, or I was, I am, and I will be forever. The pagan cultures and people surrounding the Hebrews for hundreds of years could not understand why or how this God of the Israelites, who calls himself a personal name, I Am, how can this be the most powerful one? If he cares so much about what mere human beings are doing? And why does he reveal his personal name if he never lets his people see him? Well, that remained a mystery for hundreds of years. Nonetheless, Moses was like many of God's favorite people. So just a brief overview, right? So God, he was favored towards Abel, Cain's brother, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all people that shepherded, that kept sheep. His whole life, Moses's, after he had refused the riches of Pharaoh's house, was keeping these sheep in Midian that often went astray and didn't do as he led them. And quite like Abraham and the other patriarchs, Moses was then called out of shepherding sheep to put his shepherding skills to the test, to be a shepherd of God's people. As they left Egypt, as they crossed the desert, as they entered the promised land. It was a difficult task, and Moses messed up quite a lot. But God indirectly shepherded his people by his servant Moses. Then they entered the promised land by the shepherd Joshua. And there they were led astray by many bad shepherds. Jesus calls them hired hands in today's reading. And these often took the form of kings that conquered Israel, or were judges that rose up, but were in it for money and power. And so Israel begged for a king. They begged for a king because they wanted to be like the other nations that had kings. Maybe this will solve our problem, Lord. And God relented, and he gave them a king. And if you can take something away from today to supplement your Bible reading, it's this. The first king of Israel, Saul, was never a shepherd. And the Old Testament is keen on pointing this out. They say he was handsome and he was tall, but he wasn't a shepherd. And then his first task from the Lord is to go round up some donkeys. And he can't do it. He can't do it. And you're supposed to laugh as you hear it read. And that was King Saul. He was a good king until he wasn't, right? He began to not follow God's will and sought his own way. He sought his own power. He would not give up his power when the Lord chose the second king, King David. And so Saul became a hired hand, and he led the sheep astray when the wolves came. But then came King David. He was the youngest. He was the weakest of his brothers, but he was a shepherd and he loved his sheep. And despite all human reason, God chose him to be the king. And he was fantastic at it, but he failed too. He wasn't perfect. He fornicated with Bathsheba. He killed then to hide that from his nation. He did not go to the front lines anymore and grew lazy. And the sheep scattered. One of the most heartbreaking scenes of the Old Testament is when David's son Absalom says, "If dad's not going to be king, if he's not going to rise up and be king, I will overthrow him and be king in his place," and leads a rebellion. The sheep scatter. Yet even in his weakness, the good shepherd King David, a man after God's own heart, composed a hymn that has become near to each and every one of your hearts. A hymn to his God, his I Am. And I think what's key is David surrendered his shepherding of God's people to the good shepherd himself as he prayed. I give up. I am is my shepherd. I shall not want. He alone makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. And you know the rest. You see, good and bad kings, good and bad shepherds came and went and come and go still. But none were ever as good as David. And so God had to declare through his prophet Ezekiel, "All right, that's it. Time to fulfill David's prophecy. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down in the green pastures. I will go and seek the lost sheep. I will bring back the strayed sheep. I will bind up the injured sheep, and I will strengthen the weak sheep. I myself." So God became incarnate of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and descended into hell. But the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. Jesus revealed that he was here to find the sheep who belonged to him. And what was really difficult at that time was when he started to reveal that he was not just here for the Hebrews, but for the pagans too, the Gentiles, the sheep of another flock. All those pagans that the Hebrews despised and had despised for thousands of years, it turns out they could hear their shepherd's voice and come to him too. And they came to him as he was high and lifted up on the cross. eager for forgiveness and payment for all their wrongdoing, guilt, and shame. And in so doing, Jesus revealed that he wasn't just I am. He wasn't just I was or I will be. Jesus revealed I am the Good Shepherd. And the Hebrews thought that they were close with their God before, but now all, not just Hebrew males or Hebrews, but all could know and call upon God's very personal name, Jesus. And they could see him literally face to face. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus draws all who hear him and recognize their shepherd's voice to himself lifted up on the cross. And that means that the Good Shepherd unifies his church by teaching them with his word. He makes them one flock with one shepherd. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. When Martin Luther was asked to formally define what the church is, so they asked him, Dr. Luther, please formally define what the church is. He then explained in our church's confessional documents, our doctrinal documents, he writes these words. Thank God it is this simple. A 7-year-old child knows what the church is. It's holy believers, the lambs, who hear the voice of their shepherd and gather to him. The holy believers, the lambs, who hear the voice of their shepherd and gather to him. That is what the church is. He then continues, for we confess together in the creed, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. Yet the church's holiness does not come from anything but God's own words, from the very voice of the shepherd, and the sheep receiving that voice in faith. There's only one church, and it's the church of Jesus Christ. We often can't see it unless we're gathered like we are here today, gathered around his voice and his voice joined to simple things like green grass and water and cups and oil. It's made up of those Christians, those sheep, who hear and gather around their shepherd's voice. This makes things easy because the ones who hear the scriptures and gather to it are his sheep. Those who hear the scriptures are still sheep, but not just the sheep, or just not the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Oh man, I'm flubbing. Long story short, the sheep who scatter, or the sheep who run away when they hear the shepherd's voice, reveal that they do not belong to the Good Shepherd. So if you hear the shepherd's voice, the Good Shepherd's voice, and you go away, or you scatter, it means you belong to a different master, a different shepherd. So thanks be to God. We who hear in Peter's letter to us today that even though we all do the one thing that sheep are guaranteed to do, he says, we who have all scattered like sheep, nonetheless, Jesus is your shepherd and your overseer, my shepherd and my overseer. Thanks be to God. Though we scatter like sheep, we have returned to Jesus, our Good Shepherd and our overseer, also translated as bishop of our souls. We know that to be true because you're here right now. You're gathered around the voice of the scriptures. Yet Jesus has ascended into heaven. I already talked about that. So how can you recognize Jesus' voice today? Well, Christ has appointed what the scriptures call under-shepherds. Kind of an awkward word, but it's what the scriptures use. Under-shepherds. So literally, shepherds that are working for the shepherd above them. Also, under-bishops or under-overseers, right? So overseers that are appointed by the overseer to watch over you. And these under-shepherds and under-bishops, they are to preach Jesus' word and to give his sacraments. In a very familiar story, John 21, Jesus rises from the dead and appears to Peter and other disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And the same words that are recorded on our church's cornerstone in the courtyard are spoken to Peter. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Jesus did not only give Peter the responsibility to feed, to tend his flock on earth. Jesus instituted what is called the office of the holy ministry, so that his church on earth would always have pastors, shepherds, overseers to preach the gospel, to keep watch of their flocks, so that his precious lambs would hear his voice, the voice of the good shepherd, by the hands and voice of his under shepherds. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, just like the shepherds of the Hebrews. Jesus' under shepherd pastors, however, must always be under their good shepherd. And here's something that I've talked about before, but is very important to repeat, especially on the Good Shepherd Sunday. Pastors, if you can remember my installation or my ordination, if you came, I made vows before God and before you that I must give an account for what I teach to you and what I preach to you, to whom I give the Lord's Supper, to whom I baptize, and how I conduct myself as the Good Shepherd's pastors. I do not have the freedom to preach whatever I want or ever how I feel or think. I must preach according to the Holy Scriptures. This is important to recognize because you, his beloved sheep, you are called to observe and judge your pastor. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves." And so Jesus warns you, warns me against hired hands who serve their own interests and care nothing for their sheep. But how are you to judge your pastor? Not by your own opinions either. No more than I am to preach my own opinions, but according to God's word alone. You can't tell whether your pastor speaks the voice of your good shepherd or not, unless it sounds like your good shepherd, what he says, how he says it. And so there's only one way to develop your ears, your heart, your soul to discern in this way, and that is to know the voice of your shepherd well, to love his word, to enjoy it forever. Jesus says, "Pastor, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep the green grass of Scripture. Pastor, baptize them in the still waters. Pastor, remind them of that by anointing them with oil. Pastor, feed them my body and my blood at the table with a cup that runneth over with forgiveness of sin. In these ways, goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life, The same way that bad guys chased David his whole life, followed him, in that same way, goodness and mercy will follow my sheep, and they will dwell in my house forever. And so Jesus is the one good shepherd. He has one flock. And the easiest way to see who is in that flock is to observe who's gathered to his voice. And it's good to always run to gather to the good shepherd's voice, because he promises to lay down his life, to lay down his life between his sheep and the wolves. He did it. He did it for you. He rose again. He rose for you. Come and share in its benefits. Amen.